the love ends.
Didn't realize I was on mute there, but good evening, friends. Welcome back to another episode of the Reconnect with Your Teenager podcast with yours truly, Emma G. If you are new to this platform, well, this is pretty much how it is. We are my superpowers are in speaking and in performing and in youth empowerment work, not necessarily running podcasts, as shown by before. But today I am super, super pumped, super excited to be speaking with somebody all the way from Ontario, Canada, whose superpowers are also a little bit unconventional. Again, if you are new to this platform, welcome. My name is Emma G. I am a singer, songwriter, youth empowerment through songwriting coach, speaker, and I don't know, person that wants to make the world a better place, because I believe that by helping our next generation step into their authentic power, we really can make this world a safer, healthier, happier place. And I am so honored that Melanie is here to join me today, because I feel like by her bio, by the work that she's doing, there is so much synchronicity here. Melanie, if you are unfamiliar with her work, is an energy alchemist with a big heart and a mouth to match. She helps you to accept what is, including embracing your spiritual gifts, in order to fulfill your purpose and authentically shine your light into the world. Welcome, Melanie. I'm so honored that you're here. How are you today?
Well, thank you for having me, Emma. I am doing really, really great, actually. Yeah.
That's awesome. Awesome. Now tell me a little bit about your, you know, your field of work. I find like this particular episode, this particular season, sorry, of the Reconnect with Your Teenager podcast, there's been a big focus on energy healing, which tells me, because I don't believe in coincidence, that there is kind of globally a movement, I think, towards really recognizing finally the importance of how we show up in the world and how that pertains to what comes back to us, to how we can thrive and be healthier human beings. What about energy work drew you to do it in the first place?
Well, I was never really drawn to it specifically. I have been speaking to spirit my entire life. I didn't know that that wasn't how every kid went through the world. So it wasn't something that kind of came to me later in life. It's been more of an evolution that has, as I have come up against challenges and learned things about myself, then I share that with other people. And then kind of my repertoire grows and things go in different directions. Like we were talking about before we went live, I am constantly changing and I never quite know what is coming next. So it's hard to pinpoint the exact steps that got me to this place. But I can tell you what I have noticed is that when we don't take care of our energy, when we're not aware of the fact that we are also energetic beings, not just this physical meat sack we happen to be in right now, that life can be really hard if we ignore that. And when we start to open up to understanding it and even just implementing the tiniest practices into our lives, everything can change for the better.
I love that. I want to go back a little bit, because I think a lot of the time when we look at, you know, spiritual practices, when we look at healing in particular, when it comes to spiritual practices, a lot of people tend to shy away from meditation, from spirit, from, you know, a lot of the, well, the spiritual side of ourselves. Now, I don't know what your beliefs are, but I'm a huge component of the, or proponent rather, for the idea that we have essentially five facets of self: our physical, emotional, social, spiritual and mental, right? Okay, so we're on the same page.
We're on the same page. Yeah.
But there's so much in 2024 in particular that, you know, we still are so focused on the financial, the physical, and maybe the emotional if we're lucky. When you talk about your work with spirit, mm-hmm. what does that mean exactly?
Well, because I believe, like you, that there are different facets to being human. And the big part that I work with is what we would call the soul or the spirit. You know, it's that intangible energy that comes into our bodies when we incarnate. And the beautiful thing is that if we can embrace that and connect to that, our decisions are simple. Our steps forward are really obvious. We get into this flow state where things are just a lot easier. And like, we have it hard enough here right now. The more we can lean into ease and flow, I think it's just better for us. But our soul knows everything. It knows everything that has happened. It knows everything that we need. It knows how to heal, how to connect. And that's just such a beautiful gift that if we aren't utilizing it, we're missing out on.
It's easy, I think, for people, especially in 2024, being an election year here in the States, and with all of the calamity that's going on globally, mm-hmm. In Israel, with, you know, Ukraine, with everything, yeah. for us to get very fixated on the here and now, the present, as opposed to that holistic flow state you're talking about. And you're reminding me a lot of Abraham Hicks as you talk about flow state, which I'm yeah. absolutely in love with. But, you know, so what does it look like to kind of give ourselves permission to step away from what we can see and actually get into that flow state?
So it's funny because I think the best way to do it is kind of against what you just said, how we're so focused on being here and now and present. And how do we step out of that? I think the way we connect to our souls and to that intangible other is by being present in the now. Although we are a soul, a spiritual being, we chose to be human right now. And that includes experiencing all of the chaos that's going on in the world. And when we try to escape that, we're missing the lesson, we're missing the healing, the possibility to connect with other people. So how I find that this works the best is to just be really present, to slow down, to be in your body, to notice not only what is happening around you, but how do I feel about that, right? How can I express that? What do I need in this moment? And that's when spirit actually comes in. It's not, you don't have to leave your body. You don't have to go elsewhere. Right here, like, we are spirit and we are always connected to that. Does that make sense?
Totally. And you remind me, it's one of the things that I often talk about when I'm working with teenagers to write songs. You know, it's really easy for people, I think, to want to front and pretend that everything is cool or mm-hmm. Gucci, as the kids say, you know. But one of the things that I often talk about is the importance of leaning into the shit so that we can, you know, grow from it, plant a garden, become stronger, resilient, more healthy, happy humans. And so what I'm sort of getting the same idea from you is that in order to find our spiritual balance, in order to find that our true selves, we need to give ourselves permission to look at the enemy face on, recognize yeah. it for what it is, and come through. You know, only once we've achieved that, does that,
I think kind of, so. I mean, is that right? I believe it's all spiritual. It's all sacred. And I think the big thing that's missing from a lot of people currently is that sacred piece, the meaning. You can go through the motions. And I see this all the time in clients. They have great jobs, you know, great marriages, healthy families, the big house, the fancy car, but they feel like there's something missing. And it's that piece of meaning, that connection to purpose. Mm. And again, when people start to realize that this, what might be missing, they start to look outside of themselves for this. Where am I missing it? What can I call in? What do I need to do to bring that to me? But if we can look at you and I having this conversation as a sacred spiritual practice, having a coffee, I spilled my coffee on my desk shortly before this. That was a sacred experience. Exactly. Like, it happens. And we can get upset and we can get flustered, or we can be in the moment and enjoy the act of cleaning it up. Like, I have an able body that can allow me to do this.
I love that. I love that.
For me, that's where the biggest spiritual connection comes from.
How have you found your clients typically feel? I want to say, you mentioned about some of your clients coming to you having healthy relationships, marriages, wealthy jobs, great cars, whatever, and yet they find that they have a piece of themselves that's missing a little bit. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of the clients that I've worked with, specifically around teenagers, they struggle to feel as if they have it all without that piece of identity as part of that. How does that, how can somebody feel as if, finally feel that they have it all whilst still trying to figure out that spiritual piece?
Well, I think, again, the problem comes in when we are looking for anything outside of ourselves. Mm-hmm. So we are taught in this society that to be successful, to be happy, you need the money, the car, the house, the relationship, the kids. And so this has been ingrained into us from such a young age, everywhere we look, that we think that's what we want. Mm-hmm. And how you find that contentment, that meaning, is by getting really clear on what do I actually want. And that's something that if we can start with our kids and with our teenagers, then hopefully they never get caught up in that and they don't get to the point where they feel disconnected or like something is missing. But at every single stage, if you are in alignment with what you want, if you are showing up as who you actually are, rather than pretending to be what you think people want, you don't have to get to the destination. You've already got it all.
Yeah. You're punching me in the feelings right now, and I love it. Okay, so let's take a step back even further, because, I mean, this podcast was created to, you know, specifically for parents who are trying to figure out ways to reconnect with their teenagers, especially mm-hmm. post-pandemic, when a lot of Gen Z struggled to connect with schoolwork, let alone with their parents. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think the world has definitely turned upside down and inside out several times since 2020. Mm-hmm. But your angle is not exactly working with teenagers. You come from it from a different perspective, with your belief being that when you have healthier, happier, more whole parents, the rest kind of just falls into place. Yes. So can you walk me through what that looks like from a parent's perspective, mm-hmm. When it comes to figuring out what they can do, how they can take ownership over rebuilding a positive, healthy relationship with their kids?
Yeah, absolutely. So this all stems from my spiritual beliefs. The first one is that I believe, like I said, our souls come into these bodies when we're born. And when we have our children, their souls aren't little. Their souls are the same size as us. Maybe they're more experienced than us. They have greater wisdom, certainly different wisdom. Mm-hmm. And I think the biggest problem with feeling disconnected from our teens is that we have been taught to view them as something we need to control, something mm-hmm. we need to mold into, like we have to, you know, teach them A, B, C, and D and mold them into a responsible human being. And how I look at it and how I teach my clients to look at it is they are equals on every level. And I don't believe it's our job to teach our children. I mean, the basics, like look both ways before you cross the road, like that kind of stuff. But I think that they come with their own path, their own journey, their own unique gifts to the world. And our job is to be that safe space, again, as teenagers, that safe space for them to come back to after they've gone out and they've explored and they've messed it up mm-hmm. or they've had success or whatever. But I think it's seeing them as an equal and not as someone to parent, really.
Mm-hmm. That's quite a controversial statement, I would say.
I have a lot of controversial things to say. Give me time.
No, I love it. I love it because I think it is a very key thought in a lot of ways, because I think you're completely right. I've been, as we were discussing before we went live, I've been educating now for, you know, almost 20 years mm-hmm. and from ages 6 to 82. And one of the things that I'm constantly baffled and surprised by is the just profound thought processes that young people have, and how quick we are to judge that as something to be dismissed or something that doesn't matter. And likewise, or sort of on the contrary, how we're quick to sort of assume that because somebody's in their 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, that their perspectives matter more or yeah. hold more more grit, if you will. And sometimes it's just that isn't the case. I think one of the things that that's always fascinated me is that whole concept, especially in the States and in Western cultures, is that once you've sort of grown up, that's it. You stop growing. Mm-hmm. But from what I'm sort of hearing from you is that even as parents, as we're raising the next generation, it's important to keep learning and keep your awareness open to growth and new experiences so that we can facilitate those experiences with our young people. Is that, am I kind
absolutely.
Of?
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. Dead on. And it's, I mean, my experience or my opinion, I guess, is we're done learning when we die. If we're still breathing, there's still something else to learn, to heal, to understand a little bit differently. And I believe that our children are our biggest teachers. Like, seriously, yeah. I'm not here to teach them. They have taught me so much. And they know what buttons to push. And they don't do it to piss us off. They do it to show us where we still have some healing to do. And it's just one of those things that, yeah, like if we can be open to them teaching us instead of us teaching them, it works so much differently. It's really hard to put into words, but I've been on both sides of this. I did it the way that did not work. And then I figured out the way that does. But it's interesting. I was asking one of my teens, I have two teenagers, and I thought, when I was thinking about this podcast, you know, what do I feel is important to reconnect to our teenagers? I thought, why wouldn't I ask them? What do you need to feel connected to me? And we actually had very similar ideas. But one of the big things she said is that you treat me with respect. You apologize when you mess up. You ask me for advice. I will ask my children. I'm having this situation. I need some advice, and I value their opinion. And I think when we get stuck in the role of being a parent and we know better, that creates that disconnect. And I think if we want our children to lean in, we actually have to lean back a little bit, right? Like release that judgment. And I literally do not judge my kids. They tell me everything, sometimes too much, more than I want to know, right? And again, I ask, like, why do you guys do that? Why do we have such a good connection? And they said, it's because you don't judge, you don't get mad. Like, I don't punish them for smoking a joint or getting drunk or staying out past curfew.
Which is, again, a really unconventional thought process, I think, as a parent, but also as a coach for parents, right? Okay. How does that, I say that to mean like a lot of parents, we're raised as women, especially, probably as men as well, to be fair, probably even worse so for men, but to punish and to really put in clear, succinct boundaries with repercussions in order to make sure our teenagers grow into healthy, happy adults. But you're saying that this doesn't work.
It doesn't work for me. I'm not going to make a blanket statement, but what I have experienced myself in my work and also as a teenager growing up is that when there were strict rules, right? Like let's say in my house, like don't drink or do drugs. You will be grounded for months, like severely punished if you do that. I'd be like, okay, sure. Then I'd go out and I'd drink and I'd smoke and I'd do all the things and I'd lie to them about it. And that's that disconnect. My parents didn't know me. They sure as hell couldn't keep me safe or teach me how to do that in a way that was responsible so that I got home okay at the end of the night because they didn't know I was doing it. Whereas with our children, from the get-go, we've said, now this doesn't mean that we say go to town, like do whatever you want. We very much share our opinions, our values, what we feel is a good choice to make. But then we allow them to make the choice on their own when they have all the information. And we've said, if you want to drink, you drink with us. Learn how to build up a tolerance, like learn to know what you can handle, what you can't. And if you want to, you know, smoke a joint, let me buy you the weed so you're not going to get something with fentanyl in it where you die. Mm-hmm. They're going to do what they're going to do regardless of what I say. So my opinion is I would rather create a safe and responsible scenario for them to explore what they're going to explore regardless. And one of my kids has gone and explored all of it, and my other one has chosen not to. Mm-hmm. So me allowing it doesn't automatically mean they're going to go and do it.
For sure. For sure.
Does that make it more clear?
Yeah, no, totally. Totally. I am curious, however, like cut to 2024, right?
Okay.
Where in you're now in a place in your career where you're doing a lot of coaching with parents mm-hmm. directly to help them, you know, heal their own childhood wounds, no doubt.
Yes.
But also that you found that that has resulted in them establishing healthier connections with their teenagers. Yes. What does that look like from an energy healing perspective?
So what I would like to share around that, I don't know if this is necessarily an energy healing perspective, but an example that I see all the time is parents will yell at their children. Mm-hmm. They lose their tempers, you know, lose their poop. And then a big fight ensues. And that's not actually because the child is misbehaving. It's not because the kid is doing anything wrong. It's because when that child behaves in a certain way, it triggers a wounding from when you didn't receive what you needed. I wasn't listened to as a child. I was ignored growing up. Maybe I was even abandoned. And so when your child shows up and does these normal teenage behaviors, it hits you personally. And then you react in a way that has nothing to do with them. So when we can go in and look at the energy behind that in the parent, past life patterns, ancestral trauma, early childhood experiences, and we can help heal that, the teenager is still going to have the same behavior. But when it hits you, you're like, oh, okay. Why are you feeling that way? What do you need to feel supported? Mm-hmm. It doesn't hit your wound anymore because your wound isn't there. And so when we can show up differently for ourselves first, we automatically show up in more loving and compassionate ways for our kids.
I love that so much. I feel as if I've had countless conversations with parents who, you know, don't even realize they're being triggered.
Right. And how would you if you weren't told that?
Yeah.
How would you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So what does, like, to go back to the energy healing side of things, yeah. What you do, how does that, like, what does it look like to lean into energy healing as a way of healing those wounds?
So it starts with a regular practice. Our energy is constantly being bombarded by having a conversation with someone, going out into the mall, just your daily activities. So starting with clearing your energy, grounding, creating a real practice. It's just as important as brushing your teeth, washing your hair, you know, getting a good night's sleep. So that's where I suggest people start. And then when and if you're ready to go into the deeper work, it's booking a session. And we go into the body. And I can see in the body where trauma is being stored, where past energy and experiences are being stored. We release that. And then always we work on what can I do going forward? What changes can I implement in my daily life? You know, like even just pausing when your kids trigger you, mm-hmm. recognizing, oh, okay, that's feeling a little bit triggering. Counting to 10 before you respond. Like this work, it's big life-changing work, but how we actually go about it is really small actionable steps that anyone can do.
What if somebody doesn't feel like they're a spiritual person and or they ascribe to either, you know, one denomination of belief system or they're just really not interested in spirituality whatsoever? Mm-hmm.
So you ask, what advice would I have for them?
Well, like how would that work if somebody, for example?
It wouldn't work with me. I can tell you that. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
I'm not here to help everybody. If spirituality, like most people that come to me are brand spanking new to it. They don't understand. They don't know, but they're open and they're curious. Mm. And when anyone is open and curious about anything in life, there's room for growth and for healing and for change. But if anyone comes to me or to you, to anyone with this set idea of this is how things work, this is how they're going to be, this is what I'm willing to try, you're not actually ready for the healing, whether that's energetic or not.
That can be a little bit of a kick in the feelings though, can't it? Because we often have people who are triggered all the time or have a broken down relationship with their kids or both. And you know, it's almost like they have to take accountability for themselves before they can start their healing journey. Is there any way that we can, that they can help themselves before, you know, so that they can get to that healing quicker?
I would come back to releasing judgment. Earlier I said, you know, release the judgment around the decisions that your kids make, but what about giving yourself the grace to mess up, giving yourself the grace that, you know, I'm not perfect. I feel stuck. This is really overwhelming for me and that's okay. Doesn't make you a bad person. It doesn't make you a bad parent, but I would really suggest going back and looking at childhood experiences, how you were parented. And you don't have to, let me be clear, you don't have to believe in spirituality or energy healing to heal. There are thousands of different ways that you can heal and everyone is valid, right? Like this might be, if this resonates, anyone who's listening, if this resonates, then awesome. Like shoot me an email. But if it doesn't resonate, it doesn't mean you can't heal. It just means that this is probably not the step that is right for you at this time.
Oh, yeah. No, I love that. I love that, especially because there's so many different ways that we can manifest that healing, right? Yes. And that spiritual journey. I mean, again, I use music as my tool, right?
Music is so healing.
Well, exactly. I heard a saying a few years back at an event that I was speaking at that, like, to pray is to talk to God, to meditate is to listen. I view the creation of music as the manifestation of that conversation. So it's literally just taking whatever I receive and turning it into music. But, you know, a lot of people wouldn't look at music like that.
But music is energy.
Absolutely.
And that's energy healing.
Absolutely. No, I love it. I love it. Before we get going, because I know that we could spend forever talking, but I wanted to sort of run you past a little bit. You have a number of offerings that you give people over on your website, which is MelanieHustis.com. That's Melanie, HUESTIS.com. Past offers have included everything from the Alchemy Lab community, which I freaking love, to having, you know, private alchemy sessions with you for trauma work, as well as you currently have a recorded healing that people can download and listen to every day to help them on their journey. Yep. What inspired you to give these, you know, to offer these giveaways?
The thing that inspired me is just the difference that I have felt in my life, the difference I have felt in my relationships, specifically with my kids, and how that is so radically different from how I was raised in the relationship I have with my parents. Mm. And what I offer is what has worked for me. I don't throw something out there that I haven't done myself, lived through an experience. And that's why, like I said, for some people, it's exactly what you need. And for others, it might not be. But it's certainly an option of how you can start to shift and to heal.
I love it. I love it. Thank you so much for your time, Melanie.
Thank you.
I'm so, like, it's so cool to meet, you know, people who are very unapologetically like, nope, it starts with us. You know, be the change in every single way. Don't just force that onto your kids because, you know, it's not their responsibility to heal your trauma. It starts with us and then carries on throughout our entire community, not just our families. Before we get going, is there anything else you would like to share with our audience?
I guess just to reiterate that wherever you are, don't judge it, because I truly believe there is purpose in every moment and every experience. And if you were meant to be somewhere else right now, then you would be. Right?
Amen to that. Yeah. So if you're listening to this podcast right now, thank you for being meant to be here. We're honored to have you. Until next time, friends, be good, be kind, stay safe. Of course, reach out to Melanie if you are feeling drawn to do so. And I'll see you next week. Peace, love, and hugs.
Let the change be the truth that will last. Burn it to the